Welcome, listeners, to our adventure article for the month of March. And we have taken to the trees. We are climbing up trees. We are swinging through the trees. We are having an adventure in the trees. Well, it's called playing in the trees, and we are learning about how arborists, who are what we would call tree experts, or some people call them tree doctors, they are people who specialize in diagnosing and treating trees, whether it's for their growth or for tree disease. We're learning about how they not only work in the trees, but they also like to play in the trees in their free time. And joining me back from yesterday are some two great panelists. Carolyn, thank you for coming back.
Great to be back, Amanda. Thank you very much.
We hope we're inspiring your adventurous side.
Well, I'm not big on heights, but this does sound like a lot of fun.
Oh, yay! And Albert, thank you for coming back as well.
It's good to be back.
Well, what did you both learn from yesterday?
Well, I want to highlight and share two things. The first was it really made me just smile to see how, like, these arborists, in their free time, you know, they go to the place of work and they just like to be there. It's like the equivalent of saying, like, hey, Albert, you want to go make a magazine on the weekend? Maybe not. And the second thing is, like, we learned about how, like, the limbs that you pick to climb onto really matter. Mm. So I thought that was, like, oh, that's a really unique challenge. And I really like how, like, they say things like, oh, I wouldn't trust a cottonwood. And it just, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, would they ever say that to each other? Like, oh, I trust you because you're like an oak. You're such an oak.
Right. So they really are very knowledgeable about the material they're working with. Right. What about you, Carolyn?
Oh, I really appreciate that they really stress safety. Mm. Safety is their number one issue that they're watching out for. It's not just about having fun. It's about having safe fun.
Right. Yeah, and we do learn a lot about how they do that, don't we? Of course, we know that they're arborists, so they're very familiar with the trees that they're working with, and but they're also familiar with things like climbing ropes. They're familiar with harnesses. We talked about a fail-safe catch yesterday, and I think that's a really good word, fail-safe. Oftentimes, we talk about putting fail-safe strategies in place in the business world to make sure that we don't fail at something, right? And so that's what it means, very unlikely to fail. So they are very careful about their safety because they're climbing from really high trees. And, of course, if they did fall, they would hurt themselves quite badly. Well, we are going to continue to learn a little bit more about how they came to enjoy this recreational adventure. So why don't we look at our first reading for today? Let's take a look at page 45 of your magazine or your electronic device and join us in the first column, line 17.
First, they trimmed dead limbs to repay the arboretum for access. Next, they created a rope to swing. Two of the climbers ran a section of rope between two towering sycamores, 40 feet above the ground. Brock described how the rope should be rigged and showed the best knot to attach a metal ring used for attaching the rope on which they'd swing. He said arborists use about 100 different knots. Several times, he showed others how an extra loop here or a twist there strengthened a knot. That's one of the neat things about getting together, Richmond said. We're having a blast while we're learning from each other. One climber brought a new saw that was sharper and less expensive than those used by others. Several said they'd soon get their own.
Well, listeners, we've been learning about the adventures of arborists who play in the trees. Not only do they work in the trees, but they play in the trees. Now, how do they come to be able to play in the trees in their spare time, Carolyn?
Well, it's a little bit of a trade-off. So they do a little bit of work for free. Mm. So they trimmed some of the dead limbs to repay the arboretum for access to these trees.
What is an arboretum, Albert?
An arboretum is a place where many types of trees are grown for people to enjoy. There's also usually a collection of birds that reside and live there. What I think is really fun is I feel like even if they didn't have to repay the arboretum by trimming the dead limbs, I feel like they would do it anyways because when they're climbing, they want to get rid of any unsafe obstacles or potential dangers.
Right. Yes. Yesterday we talked about the fact that dead limbs are never to be trusted, right? And so perhaps if they come across these dead limbs, they'll try to get rid of them. Well, that's what they get to do and get paid for it as well. Well, paid in return for their mm-hmm. time spent there.
Right. But they want to make sure they do this first before they start playing because they don't want to be swinging from the trees while holding a saw.
That is a good idea. Safety
yes.
first.
Safety right. first.
I will say, like, because Carolyn mentioned earlier how, like, they emphasize safety, right? It just goes to show you that usually we have this mindset like, oh, you know, for things to be fun, it has to be risky or dangerous. Mm. But no, you can have it both ways. You can have it to be safe and you can have fun.
I think that's very true. It makes me think of New Zealand is very famous for bungee jumping,
uh-oh.
Right? That's going head first off a platform into nothing or, you know, going into the air. And I've always thought, well, that's a very risky thing, but they're very, very, very careful about safety. In fact, we have very, very strict rules about safety in general, whether it's in the workplace or anywhere in New Zealand. So it's, like you said, it's kind of very ironic that on the one hand, we love to do risky things, but we have a lot of safety involved so that we can do it and we won't be hurt while doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we learn about what they are doing in the trees, Albert?
Well, they ran a section of rope between two towering sycamores. I feel like by default, they are towering.
Right.
Yeah, and they're 40 feet above the ground, and they're running these ropes to create a safety line.
A rope swing.
Mm.
Yeah, they want to have a rope swing. And that's, wow, that's 40 feet above the ground. That is a very high rope swing. Nothing like, you know, like a couple of branches off your oak to the ground for a little swing that you make perhaps for kids to play on, right? This is quite different from that. Now, how do they rig the rope, Carolyn?
Well, so Brock, one of the arborists, described how the rope should be rigged and showed the best knot to attach a metal ring for attaching the rope on which they'd swing. So it's a little bit of an involved process. Like you need to have a good knowledge of knots. You need to know how to attach things properly, how the rings work and how everything needs to come together to make a safe swing. But I like this word rigged. They rigged it, and that just means to fix something into place.
We often use this word, you know, when we want to rig something onto the wall, perhaps a picture onto the wall, or we want to rig some rope, like a washing, you know, maybe we're out camping and we want a washing line or somewhere to hang our laundry. We'll rig a piece of rope between two trees that way too, right? Well, this is very interesting that they use a lot of knots. In fact, he said arborists use about 100 different knots. That's a lot of different knots. And to know what each knot is used for and what it's going to do for you, especially if you're using it to attach yourself to trees, right?
I really got to find myself an arborist and ask them, like, hey, my headphones for my phone, when I listen to music, it always gets knotted up.
Ah.
What kind of knot can I use to, like, prevent this from happening? I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay. Well, you can ask them, or I'm sure that they have a great knowledge of using these knots. It reminds me of the knots that you need for sailing.
Ooh.
Sailing is often a lot of knots involved with that, as well as rock climbing, mountain climbing. These kinds of sports use a lot of knots, and these people are similar to that. In fact, he says several times he showed others how an extra loop here or a twist there strengthened a knot. So Brian Brock himself is quite good at knots.
Yeah, and this is really nice because this is part of what they're doing is learning from each other, right? Getting advice on, oh, what do you think of this knot? Oh, well, actually, you can make it a little bit better if you put another loop here, and then it will be a stronger knot in this situation.
And that knowledge will help them in their workplace, too, because perhaps they can use that when they go back to work. They're still in the trees, right, and needing to do what they do there as well.
Right. So. Yeah, this is kind of like extra training, but having fun while you learn it instead of taking a boring class.
I like how they say we're having a blast while we're learning. What do we mean by that, Albert, when we're having a blast?
Well, we're not talking about the explosion kind.
Yeah, that would not be exciting.
No, in this context, it means an exciting or enjoyable experience or event, often a party. And it really seems like such a tight-knit community between these arborists. We're, like, usually in different fields where, you know, people are usually, like, competitors. They are not so warm and welcome to helping each other out. Whereas here, they're like, oh, you know, they're sharing techniques and ways to help each other.
Right. So not only are they helping each other with their safety equipment, they're also helping each other with the instruments that they use. We learned that one climber brought a new saw that was sharper and less expensive than those used by others. So they share their knowledge of finding better tools, cheaper tools with each other. And so the others say, oh, I've got to get one of those. So they're sharing their experience in many different things. Well, why did they start to play in the trees, and how did they come to be playing in the trees? Let's find out more as we look at our last reading for today.
Each arborist had a story about what got them into the trade. Some just always had a love of tree climbing. Locke got a taste for it on a month-long job with the U.S. Forest Service in Colorado and made it a career when he returned to Kansas. For Richmond, it seemed a natural occupation because he loves rock climbing. All took at least one turn swinging from a rope that connected their harnesses to the rope high between the sycamores. Rather than just swing, most did aerial twists, grabbed leaves as they passed branches, and swung upside down. Some watched from high enough in the sycamores to actually be looking down on the men who were swinging. Some swung from tree to tree, like Tarzan, on their synthetic grapevines. Locke said they try to gather a few times a month. Some travel to national competitions. It's more to be around a great group of people, he said. The guy you're competing against may be giving you advice on how to do something better. You learn a lot and have fun, too. Most of us just like to have fun and climb trees.
Well, listeners, as you're joining us today, perhaps you thought about climbing trees and playing in the trees and the fact that it's only for little kids or for kids to do that. But this article today is talking about how adults, and in particular arborists, are enjoying playing in the trees and how they go about having these great adventures in the trees. But how did they come to be doing this? That's what we learn in our first paragraph for today, for this next reading. Carolyn, what do we learn?
Well, they each have their own story, so it's not the same for everyone, about what got them into the trade. And if you get into something, that just means that you become interested in an activity or subject, or you start to get involved in it. And that could be for any number of reasons.
Right. Okay. And that is a great term that we're using there, get into something. Just how did you become or begin to enjoy something in particular? And here it says get into the trade, right? It doesn't always mean an occupation. or a job. It could be an adventure like this or a sport. And they all have different stories. I like how some of them just love tree climbing. Perhaps as a child, they enjoyed doing that and have gone on to do it. It makes me think that there is that summer job where you do Christmas trees. We actually had one teacher, their summer job was to go up into the big Christmas trees and cut and prune Christmas trees. And these are big, tall Christmas trees. And from there, as an adult, they increased their love of climbing trees.
Mm.
Right? But here we learned that Locke, particularly Caleb Locke, who were introduced from the very beginning of this article, he got a taste for it on a month-long job with the U.S. Forest Service in Colorado. Now, when I think of Colorado, I think of the great outdoors.
Right? Definitely, yes, yes. A lot of good hiking in Colorado.
So the U.S. Forest Service must be quite well represented in Colorado.
Mm.
And we mentioned earlier that arborists often have a job in either forestry or in the national parks. And here is an example of that. He did that for a month, right? And then what did he do as he returned to Kansas?
Well, he made it a career. So it was something that was short term, and he made it now his profession when he returned to Kansas.
And why did this seem, well, that was particularly for Caleb Locke, but we also learn about Elias Richmond. Why did he become an arborist?
Well, I like what the article does here. It says that it seemed a natural occupation. A little bit of a play on words there with natural, trees, nature. But it's because he loves rock climbing. So he was already really interested in the climbing aspect, and being a rock climber as a profession is a little bit difficult. You may not have work every day. Like, you might have to go work at a gym, not necessarily be outdoors all the time. But he really likes rock climbing, and if he's an arborist, then his work will definitely be outdoors.
Right. Well, we come back to the present time that is talked about in the article. There are setting up these ropes to swing in the trees, and what do they go on to do, Albert?
Well, rather than just swing, most did aerial twists. When aerial twist is like aerobatics.
Wow. Yeah, so they're actually using the momentum of just moving through the air to do aerial twists and doing it without having to worry about their safety because they are roped into their harnesses.
Right, so it's like ballet in the air.
Right, and in fact, they get to have a lot of fun. What do they do as they're doing these aerial twists, Carolyn?
Well, since they don't have to worry about holding on tightly to anything, they can grab leaves as they pass. They can touch trees, right, as they're swinging past them, and just have a lot of fun, and even swing upside down.
So it sounds like these trees and the ropes have become their what we call jungle gym, right? Their playground. We think of, leaping and jumping. We think of as kids in the playground, you go from swing to swing and from bar to bar. But here they're using the trees as the bars to work from.
Right. And just to clarify, a jungle gym is usually made out of metal. It's like a nest.
Right.
A web of metal works that like evenly spaced for children to play around with. But here it's a natural jungle gym.
And in fact, some of their audience have climbed up very high that they can actually look down on the men who are swinging through the trees. What are they likened to, Carolyn?
Well,
or who are they likened to?
Right, they are likened to Tarzan. Tarzan, that famous jungle story, right, of a man who grows up with gorillas, with apes in the jungle, and swings on vines from tree to tree. And that's kind of what they're doing. They have their synthetic grapevine, their synthetic vine, which is their rope, Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. Yes. And we see that it doesn't just stop with them using this for relaxation and using it in their downtime or on the weekends when they're not having to work. In fact, what have they gone on to do at times, Albert?
This just boggles my mind. They travel to national competitions.
So this has actually become a national sport.
That's what it sounds like. I'm not quite sure what they're competing for, though. Mm. Like, how are these competitions run? Is it who can swing the highest or tie the best knot? I'm not quite sure what the competition itself involves.
Right. It could be who has a beautiful aerial twist into the air.
Oh, yeah.
How many leaves can you grab as you're, as you're swinging through the trees? But the fact that it's become, it's a national competition means that there are people in many other places around the country who are enjoying playing in the trees in this fashion as well. We learned from Caleb Locke that he enjoys this. Now, why does he enjoy it so much, Albert?
Well, it's more to be around a great group of people. The guys you're competing against may be giving you advice on how to do something better so that they can have fun and learn at the same time. And I feel like it just speaks to their passion, which is they just enjoy climbing trees and climbing things.
Right. So they go to these competitions. You often think of a national competition as competing against the other person. You're not really talking to them. You're just showing the best that you have and you want to win.
Right. It can be a little unfriendly, perhaps a little bit cold toward the competition, right? You really want to win and everyone else there wants to win too, and so you are not friends.
Right, you consider them your enemy.
Right, they are the competition. They are not to be trusted, and they are not to be given any advice, even if you know it would help them. But that's not the case here.
Right, they give each other advice. He goes on to say, you learn a lot and have fun too. Most of us just like to have fun and climb trees. So no longer are playing in the trees confined to little children. In fact, you can see now that a lot of adults enjoy playing in the trees. Of course, they do it very safely, and we have some pictures in our article today that we can see. We're introduced to another tree climber. His name is Casey Tavares, and he swings among the sides of big trees during the day, and he's an arborist during his working hours. We can see here just the momentum actually through that picture as well as they're swinging through the trees. And you can see also on the harness just how much harness and fail-safe catches they have, along with how much rope is used to keep them in place. Now, we can also see that they need that while they're working as well. And so I think we learned earlier that some of them can have up to 100 different types of knots that they need to use to keep themselves in the air and in place. Now, you have been rock climbing before, correct, Albert?
Yes.
Did you use a harness?
Yes.
And did you have fail-safe catches on it?
It's like a mess of lines and mm-hmm. like metalwork and contraption. It's almost like an oversized outline of a diaper. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm not sure like what each thing did specifically. The professional that was there on site was tying knots. They kind of all looked the same to me, but I'm pretty sure each one did something differently. There was a lot of adjusting to do, but yeah. 100 knots? I believe so. I believe they can use up to 100 knots.
Well, I think the vocabulary that we've learned in today's lesson is very helpful, whether it is here, like in this article, we've been playing in the trees, or you're referring to rock climbing, or you're referring to abseiling. All these sports activities and adventure, they all use similar wording, whether it be rigging, we talked about being rigged in the air, whether it be about fail-safe catches, we talked about harnesses, rope, all these things are what we use when we're talking about these other sports as well. So listeners, you can use that to also refer to if you're going rock climbing, perhaps playing in the trees might be a little dangerous to you or sound dangerous. Why don't you start with rock climbing? I know we have a lot of rock climbing walls here in Taipei City, and also I know that it's common outside in other countries as well, so you can start there. But I've even seen schools with rock climbing walls, so it's very popular. But we would love to hear about your feedback about this article. Does this make you want to try something adventurous? Or perhaps you already have done something quite adventurous and you would love to share your adventure with us. So you can write into us at studioclassroom.com, and you can also check out our QR codes. What can they find at our QR codes, Albert?
Ooh, tons of great video content. You know, at Advance, we work hard with all the teachers at Studio Classroom, and we make these great review skits. We do insights, we do introduction, and get it right. It's tons of fun. You know, definitely get out the cell phones and get out your cell phone and swipe that QR code and join us.
So this is Amanda
and Carolyn
and Albert
saying thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.